Your daughter longs for connection and good friendships, but it's not happening. She's really feeling rejected. How do you handle that? I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta, who is a counselor and heads up the parenting team here at Focus. Danny, your daughter Lexi, I'm sure, has gone through seasons where friends, they're my life. Friends, I don't have any.
Yes.
That's a tough thing for girls, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's a lifeline for girls. That relationship is key. And my daughter craved having a best friend. She saw several of her friends having best friends, and she didn't feel close to any one person. She had a lot of acquaintances, and she's a very social girl, was well liked, but she was not included in the small groups at times, and she felt really hurt by that, and had a hard time trusting her peers. They would come back and say, "Yeah, we had fun this weekend," or "This person was over at our house and to my house, and we played this, and that." And she felt really hurt by the fact that she was not invited to those things. But she craved that closeness, that trusting, healthy friendship that many of us long for. Yeah. But I know that girls, it's so important for them developmentally.
And we're going to hear more about that now from Dana Gresh. Here she is with Focus President Jim Daly. They're going to start off talking a little bit about bullying, which was covered in a previous episode as well, and then they're going to pivot to girls and loneliness.
You know, what is a good way for a mom and a dad to stay connected to their preteen and teen daughters so that they know, you know, kind of what's going on? I remember with my boys, I would ask them when they were, you know, in school, I'd say, you know, "Are you doing okay? Is anybody bullying you?" You know, I think Jean said, "Man, you might want to back off on that because you ask it pretty often." Yeah. But I wanted to know.
Well, and you're doing the right thing because most kids don't tell.
Yeah.
They feel so embarrassed about
right.
it that they don't tell unless you dig.
Right.
And I had a friend whose high school son went to play baseball earlier this summer and was really bullied during the game.
Yeah.
And it took her 3 hours to figure out what's going on in your heart. Something really bad happened and he wouldn't talk about it. You do have to dig because it is embarrassing. None of us like to have things like that happen.
Yeah. In that friendship and relationship space, you've talked about that. How do we combat that lie of our daughters that I don't have friends? And, you know, in some cases, it may be true that they
yes.
don't have a close friend and they want that and they seek that. And they're just not getting that response from their friendship circles.
Two things. One is that loneliness is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pass over it. Acknowledge it. "I'm sad that you feel lonely. Can you tell me about that? Like, I just want to listen. All I want to do is listen." For moms, that's a very painful thing. There were a few things that hurt me more than listening to my daughters talk about when they were bullied or when they felt lonely at school. I hated that more than anything. It hurt me so badly.
Because you experienced that?
No, because I hated that she was experiencing it.
Okay.
I couldn't stand that my daughter was experiencing that pain. And that's where the temptation for us, I think, as moms comes in to fix it. I'm going to go fix that. But then the next thing that I would really recommend, and it's not the most important thing because I'll get to that in a second. But the next thing I really recommend is so many times when you listen to them, what they're saying is nobody noticed me, nobody affirmed me, nobody invited me to sit with them on the bus today, nobody invited me to their birthday party. And it's really a backwards and unbiblical approach to friendship. And until your daughter starts to do friendship the way God designed her to do friendship, it's not going to work.
And what is that?
That is, she needs to be a friend. So these girls are sitting there craving a friend when they're surrounded by girls who are craving the same thing, wishing they had a friend. "I need a friend. I don't have a friend." And so a verse I really always like to take my girls to, and it was always, sometimes there were eyeballs rolling into the back of heads when I would do this.
Good.
But
that's
a
good precursor.
I wanted her to know, I wanted them to know the right way to get a friend. And it's from Philippians 2. "Do nothing from rivalry conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." So I would always send my girls after those conversations off to school or the field trip or whatever. I'd be like, "Look for the lonely girl. Go look for her. It's not you, I promise, because God's just given you assignment through your mom." Yeah. God is telling you, go look for someone else that has the interest of needing a friend and be that friend to them. And I will tell you, some of the sweetest friendships that my daughters have today followed that conversation.
Well, Dana made mention about encouraging her daughters to make friends with those overlooked kids. I think you've got a story or two that you've shared before, Danny, about one or both of your kids looking out for that child who's sitting there alone at the cafeteria table, nobody around them.
Yeah, I love that Dana has taken us to this place because we don't talk about it enough, I don't think, as families. It's just a great reminder to have our kids think about the overlooked kids. Mm. And I do remember driving my son to junior high for the first time, right? The first day, I said, hey, make sure you look for that one kid that is alone in the lunchroom because junior high is so intimidating. And it can be very, very lonely. And so I said, hey, you're going to be a contributor, not a consumer today as you walk in. And that means you're going to be bold, you're going to be courageous, and you're going to find someone like that and go sit with them. What do you think? And he said, I'll try, Dad. At the end of the day, he said, Dad, I did it. I sat in the lunchroom with so-and-so. My friends followed me. They were saying, hey, what are you doing? And they all went together as a group and sat with this boy and continued to do so throughout the year. And it meant so much to him that the mom came to us sophomore year. This is many years later. She said, that meant so much to my son. I want you to know what your son did was tremendous for our family. She was a single mom. She said, he has not felt loved. He's not connected with his dad. This was deep for him in his life. And my daughter has, over the years, written sticky notes for certain kids to be encouraging to them. And that's made me tear up when I've seen her do that and take it to them or put it on their locker. And sometimes my kids have been accused of being too nice and too good.
Oh, and wow. That's what a good accusation.
Yeah, well, I'm going, is that
charge.
Bad?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. But they are sweet. I mean, their heart, I love how they've been designed. God has created them in his own design, their unique design. And I have loved how they've made certain decisions. Not perfect, right? They've got a lot of faults that they bring to the table. But they've tried to be as loving as possible. I love Romans 12:9, John, where it says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Mm. Let's teach our kids that.
Yeah, well, and I love the way you – that's a great verse. I love how that really does dovetail with your little pep talk to your son. That's a great way to put it. And I know we've hit this before, but be a contributor, not a consumer, and look for that person. I think during junior high, I was the kid who sat alone at the table. I just had a hard time connecting with people. Well, we've talked about friendship and loneliness, and we really dialed into girls in this episode, but this is a parenting principle for all of us to really grab hold of and to equip our kids to believe truth, not lies. We've got the book from Dana Gresh. It's called Lies Girls Believe, and then there's a companion, a mom's guide to Lies Girls Believe. We're bundling those along with the free download of the whole conversation that Jim Daly and I had with Dana. We're making that available to you for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family today. Help us equip parents. Help us offer resources to parents. Help us produce this podcast. Make a donation, either a monthly pledge or one-time gift of any amount. We'll send the books to you, and the link is in the show notes. Also, we've recently updated our 7 Traits of Effective Parenting assessment, which is only a few minutes of your time. Take that, and it's going to point out areas that work in your relationship with your kids and maybe something to work on as well. The link for the 7 Traits of Effective Parenting assessment, it's free, is in the show notes. You'll hear more from Dana Gresh next time as she talks about what to do when your daughter enters that boy crazy stage. For now, on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for joining us for the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.